Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by the fine cricketer from Notts, Luke Fletcher, who's got his autobiography out, which we very much like. He had some good war stories for us, so you'll enjoy that. We had a bit of a chat, Andy, didn't we?
We had quite a lot of chat. We even discussed donuts.
donuts.
And we played a very good game with Sam Delaney.
We did. It's a new quiz show. Going to try and get that away on ITV. We also spoke to Kevin Phillips, who was very interested on the art of the striking partnership in light of Son and Kane working together again last night. So I believe that's it. So enjoy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And yes, it was a tight old battle last night, but there's something about the game that I thought it was a good 3 points for Tottenham. It was a terrible game, but
if it had been your team, Andy, you had no skin in the game, so there was no tension. So
no.
Well, I had frustration till we scored, and then tension after we scored. So I felt quite drained after it all. You know?
As a neutral, though, you sit there thinking, I hope there's a goal soon, because as soon as there's a goal, if it's the last 25 minutes, that will be good. The last 15 minutes, but it did come in the 75th minute, so you got the last 15 was a bit more frantic. But I thought Burnley did all right. And you know, they are what they are, Burnley. You know, they're like, we've got them on Saturday. It won't be an easy game. They're not an easy team to beat.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good.
No, it was a good result. They won ugly. It's not something Tottenham have been known for
and,
over
you know,
the years.
Kane, it's all about Kane, isn't it? He's absolutely peaking now. He's
one of both ends, as he proved.
Exactly.
Really.
He's such an all-round brilliant player.
Listening to the sports bar after the game, I took the dog for a walk to try and clear my headache. And Jason made a very good point. If you watch what Kane does there, he spots the danger. He realises that they're in, and he backs around and gets on the line, and
it looked like
a brilliant defender.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really
good. No, I mean, you know, it's all about him. If he stays fit, I think Spurs definitely will be challenging for top four. Whether they're challenged for the title, it's too early to say.
I think they are. The problem is the defence, really. And I think certainly at centre back, as I said yesterday when we were talking to John Cross, he hasn't completely made his mind up yet about his best two. And even then, I mean, it was interesting. They were looking at Skriniar at Inter. And I think if they got a dominant centre half, I'd start to feel more confident that they could seriously challenge.
You're never going to be confident. I mean, you're 10 point lead with about 3 games to go. You're saying, well, you never know.
Oh, Andy, you did once say Chelsea would be in the blue square within 5 years. Year they won the title.
But you always do this. You're exactly the same as me. You make out I'm the one.
Would you say?
You sit there, even when we're watching England, you're like, if you're tuning up, you're panicking.
Well, I know. Well, I'm conditioned
to it. You're the same as me.
I'm conditioned to it. But do you think the Tottenham defence is solid enough and good enough to win the title?
The way the league is this year, and the way the manager is, they've got a chance. I wouldn't rule them out. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I wouldn't rule them out. It's far too early to say.
There's lots of other positive signs.
So they get an injury. Kane gets injured, then that's the end of it.
Yeah,
he is so important.
Yeah.
I can't see. Vinicius obviously looked pretty good the other day, but he's not Kane.
And let's touch what it doesn't happen from our point of view. Mm. But from history tells you that Harry Kane does miss at least 6-8 weeks a season.
Vinicius could help, though. Could take some of the pressure off him, you know, so it could be good.
I just want, is that what happened to Vinicius last night? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it's happened to you more than once.
It was right.
It was absolutely right. Yeah, because the whole dynamic of the game changed at that moment. But have you been stripped ready to come on down Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, just ready to go on and do your thing? You've had the pep talk. The gaffer said, go on, son, get out there. I've got every belief in you. Then something happens or you don't get on. So your tales of not quite making it onto the pitch. The more humorable, the better, as Stuart Pearce would say. Talksport.com.
I was going to go on and then I didn't. Yeah,
text 1089 tweet to us. Yeah, I was due to come on and then I didn't get on. But there might be a story behind
it. You said he doubts it out of Aldevira, but that was pretty brave last night. I mean, actually, Barnes, he's fantastic, isn't he? It's always him. But he has that same effect on Burnley that Mikel Antonio has for West Ham. He really galvanises them.
He makes a big difference to them,
yeah. But that was definitely a dodgy... Yeah, that was a booking, I mean.
It was probably
an elbow in the face, wasn't it, really?
You know, I don't think it was a sending off.
No.
I didn't look at it and think, that's got to be red. The player, I saw a stat today I couldn't believe. Mm. Eric Lamella, in his 7 years at Tottenham, has never been red carded. I think in the Premier League, you may have been
we
in
should
Europe.
Should have been last night. I didn't think that was a
red. No, he got a lot of the ball. He got a lot of the ball there. But, you know, basically, he thinks you can, it's like he's brought it from Boca. He thinks you can tackle like that in the Premier League or in any country outside Argentina.
It is amazing.
But he always finds a way of getting away with it. Mm. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Any Premier League referees listening, that's that. Any VAR officials. Somebody's written in a light pencil, never sent off Lamella. That's because he tackles brilliantly. That's why.
I guarantee he gets sent off next weekend.
I wish I hadn't said that. I've bopped him.
The Natterjack Toad, news of him. He's causing concern to Paris's Olympic plans. They plan to build a media centre for the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
They've discovered some natterjack toads, and so they basically, it's all been held up. You know what it's like when they get these things? You can't.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to disturb.
Wasn't it newts at our Olympics? Didn't we have a newt situation down by where they built the site? What do we know the natterjack toad for, Andy? Do we know much about him or?
He used to feature in an advert on Talk Sport.
He did, that's right.
I remember that.
Yes.
The only reason the name rang a bell.
And then, is he the one that went...
No, I think that was the bitten.
That's the bitten, wasn't it? That's a bird. Yeah, I don't do any other animal impression. Actually, that's not true. I do a peacock, but I need to work myself up for it.
Somebody wrote to the Daily Star with this about Talk Radio, our sister station.
Oh, yeah.
He said... Why are the handful of talk radio hosts who aren't rabid always confined to the graveyard spot? What about rabid Martin Keltner?
That's very true. You don't get much more rabid than Martin. He has a tetanus every day.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy has just admitted to me off air a bit of donut guilt. You may recall the other week he walks past a donut shop on the way to work. Now, he's a man who has a big breakfast. He has no lunch, but he got a bit peckish the other day and he somehow managed to walk past the donut shop.
I had the same breakfast again and I didn't.
Maybe it's that combo of whatever. You have,
and
you walked past the donut shop, but not that you veered right, didn't you?
Well, I even walked from Waterloo deliberately because I knew I'd pass the donut shop. Whereas if I came by tube, I'd miss. It was a big plan.
Yeah,
I got it. I was excited.
What donut was it? Andy, talk us through it.
It was raspberry jam dusted with cinnamon.
Beautiful.
It was excellent. It wasn't one of those new American horrible donuts that aren't donuts.
Bacon and maple syrup.
This is your traditional donut. It was excellent.
And it was in a little box. Very appetising.
Wasn't cheap. And
how much are you paying for a little single? I mean, you're going to Bob and Arbroath are going to spit his tea out.
It was. I don't even want to say on air. It was ridiculous. But you know that thing.
When you're in a
shop.
Yeah.
And they're quite big. But when you're in a shop and they tell you what it is, you can't sort of then go.
How much?
How
well,
much?
You can.
I could do, but I'm not.
Are you going to tell us how much?
No.
Well, we can look it up. I can look it up.
You look it up. I'll tell you in the break.
Was it more than £2?
Put it this way, Roman Abramovich would have thought that, fair price.
for a donut?
For a donut. It was ridiculous. And the minute I finished it, I thought, what have I eaten that?
Guilt.
It was nice while I was eating it, though.
I will get you on to Paul McKenna. We'll sort you out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Something you would have enjoyed. And I don't know if you spotted this amongst all the bits and pieces. So David Moyes was talking about life in lockdown and getting a Red Cross parcel. And he said the one thing missing from it that he absolutely loves was custard. He's a big fan of custard, David Moyes. So I don't know if you'll look at him any differently now.
To be honest. That surprises me. I wouldn't have had him down as a custard man instinctively, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't describe him as a custard man because he seems, he's a dour man, he's a serious man. And custard seems like a frivolous kind of a food stuff to be into. So, but there you go. You just never know.
Well, I mean, maybe we should have a quick game of cream or custard. We're looking at some of the Premier League managers. So a rhubarb crumble appears in front of Jurgen Klopp. What does he have, cream or custard, Sam?
Now, Klopp, I would definitely say, would be a custard man.
Would you really?
Well, you know, he's a fun guy. He's got a sort of certain zaniness about him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And I can imagine him finding custard just a fun food.
You know, I mean, well, that cream isn't.
Moyes is, well, custard they use sort of in Tisbos and other game show and other sort of fun kids programs to gunge people, don't they? So it's sort of associated with fun. Moyes, as a Dale Scott, I would imagine, would sprinkle salt on his crumble. But there you go. We digress.
I mean, someone like Bielsa, I imagine he wouldn't have cream or custard. He would shun it. He probably wouldn't have the crumble.
Pep's creme patisserie.
Eat the very sour rhubarb on its own.
Yeah, and Roy Hodgson, I mean, he'd have custard and cream because there was a period during the Blitz when he didn't see cream or custard for 10 years. So
exactly.
He'd have both.
You have to go without, you treasure it, don't you?
Yeah, which is not why we got you on. It's a good game. Well, it's a good game.
I would love to come back and play this game.
Can you come back next week and play cream or custard, Sam?
Count me in, fellas. Count me in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were chatting to Sam Delaney earlier on, talking a bit of West Ham, and of course they brought in Kufa, one of the good signings, along with Benrahma and others. They brought in
Souček as well.
Souček was asked by the West Ham hierarchy, "Have you got any mates who are quite good at Sparta Prague?" And he said, "Oh yeah, Kufa's good." So they've signed him, and blimey, that wasn't a bum steer. He's done very well, hasn't he, for them? They made a good start. But I think you saw this story at the weekend that Steve Bruce at Newcastle has got a player at the club called Florin Idalesio. He is Alan St-Maximin's mate.
Mate?
Yeah, it's his mate. He said, Steve admits, we're taking a bit of a gamble on the French striker. He had a trial with the club and they're giving him a deal to the end of the season. He's going to be playing with the under-23s. He was at St Etienne as a kid but got kicked out for disciplinary issues and then found himself working on a building site. He was on the Hod.
Well, he has worked in the past.
Well, yeah, that's true. Vinnie Jones?
Yeah,
well,
Les Ferdinand, he wasn't a...
I don't think Les was on the building site, was he? No, for Vinnie certainly was.
Yeah.
So, Les, sorry about that, mate.
I've never done a Brick Lane at all.
Yeah,
ever.
I think he worked in the motor trade or something like that. He was doing it anyway.
That's a real guess.
But Les, you're right. Les, no, he did. I think Les did have a proper job, like, you know, before he became a footballer. He came to it late. So, anyway. Yeah, he may ring up and tell us, or he may not bother, I don't know. But the point is this.
Definitely won't.
They've signed a bloke who was a brickie because he's Alan St-Maximin's mate. He says, Steve, he's his mate. Make no mistake, we haven't just signed him because he's Alan's mate. He's got a bit of talent. Otherwise, he would not be coming in. He admits, he said, I've never spoken English before. I learned English on a construction site. So that would be quite interesting and training. Imagine imagine the languages. No point, boys, teaching him swear words because he'll probably know more than you.
Was he working on a construction site here in Britain?
No, in France.
Oh, right.
But so he said, yeah, he said, I would do the concrete mix. And everybody do the concrete mix. And he said, my body got tired. Oh, blimey.
Oh, dear.
Went running up and down a Premier League football pitch, mate, for 90 minutes. But anyway, we'll see how he does, old Floron.
It's amazing that. Yeah. It can give you a different perspective. So,
it certainly can.
He's got the talent. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about, Andy?
Yeah, so you see that Fred Syriex from First Dates has got...
Is that how you pronounce it? I've often wondered. Syriex, how you pronounce the X? Normally in... Syriex. Normally in Syria, isn't it?
Syriex.
He loves his Italian football.
Yeah, he's getting a £230,000 deal to be M&S's wine ambassador.
Nice.
£230,000. You cannot be Syria.
Thank you. Doesn't work then, does it?
No, not
if you
really.
Lose the X, if you don't call him serious, it doesn't really work.
Well, then
won't
be the first time that's happened.
No, that's very true. Nice.
And fair enough, really.
Anything else?
Shoppers in Beijing are to get a new app that can trace. They're going around the supermarket and it traces where their food's come from, where it's been, who's handled it and everything. It all comes up on the app.
Oh, what do you mean? So from a COVID point of view?
Yeah, from a COVID point of view. Don't know if it says how much bat it contains.
I'm going light on the pangolin this month. as soon as you pick up an item and it says box by Fred at the... Yeah,
basically. That's how they've got it under control. They've only had 23 victims a day, roughly, on average.
Well, not since the start. I mean, recently.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You have 23.
No, that's correct.
Oh, okay, right.
But I don't know if it's because of measures.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they've got the technology sussed, haven't they, really?
So I know somebody that went there and had to quarantine... And especially as they tested negative here, by the time they got off the plane,
they were positive.
Well,
that can happen.
And they basically had to be basically a sort of, you know, how would I describe it? Wasn't a five star hotel. Put it this way:
spend 2 weeks in a
pretty
particular...
difficult place, and then another 10 days on top of that.
Yeah,
you know, they're certainly belt and braces, but you know it's worked for them, as you saw with us yesterday.
Not going to go for a 2 week holiday.
Not really. No.
Spend it in a basic hotel.
The typical Brit will spend 4,860 days watching TV their lifetime. Well, it probably went up during lockdown.
I imagine it did.
You can imagine that. What else have we got?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at it.
I don't mind, Andy. I mean,
that was interesting.
Oh, okay.
It was interesting, but I was looking at Adam Catterall's pictures from the big UFC fight. I'm really no interest in it whatsoever. I know we were doing it, but it just doesn't do it for me, UFC at all. But I was looking at Khabib. He's obviously a fine fighter, and he's probably one of the greatest of all time in that sport. And I thought, blimey, his hair's interesting. He dyed it and everything. It's very fascinating hair, isn't it? It's like really, you know, sort of blonde afro. It looks amazing. It was a hat.
I know, but I've seen him in the hat.
I didn't know it was a hat.
I've seen that. That's not his hair.
I thought it was his hair.
No, it's his hat. He often wears that. That's very much a trademark.
His hair is his hat.
His hair is his...
Who's that? Who's somebody? We sang that about somebody. His hair was a hat.
Somebody's hair was a hat.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, you need to get the name.
This is one of the listeners will come back.
Sorry, you're listening to Talksport, by the way. Well, we gave you that gold about the Newcastle player working on a building site. We can't do much more than that.
Another story about AVB going around to Bielsa's house.
Yeah.
And Bielsa wasn't expecting him. That's the interesting thing about the story. It wasn't like he rang up and said, oh, can I come and see you?
Yeah.
He just kind of turned up. Bielsa described greeted him with what the pilgrim, I don't know, I suppose that's him, describes as astonishment. Yeah. What are you doing here? Bielsa asked. Well, it's a bit older. I suppose he knew who he was. He wasn't standing at the door and went, who are you? He went, oh, hello, it's AVB.
Yeah, he probably did, yeah.
Because he knows so much about football. He probably said to him,
he would have known who he was.
10 games you had at Chelsea.
Yeah, you're probably watching videos of AVB when he knocked on the door.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Now you're gone, I realise my
love for you was strong. That song is relevant because our next guest Well, I'll let him explain. It's one of the many fine stories in his autobiography. One of the great characters of the game, the Notts cricketer, Luke Fletcher. Good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon. I knew straight away as soon as you put on, I thought, oh, here we go.
That's Base Hunter, that song. And it might be worth it. I think the story kind of gives a flavour of some of the stories that you find in the book, because this is not a cricket teaching manual, is it? It's a bit of a romp, really. But tell us.
It gives you a flavour about what a muppet I am.
tell us why that song's relevant.
I can't believe I'm telling you this, but it's in the book anyway.
Yeah.
a long time ago when I was probably 19, 20, I used to like a bit of Bass Hunter. That was one of the songs I used to like playing. And I said randomly on a night out, I said, right, listen, every time this song comes on, I'm going to pour what drink I've got on my head. Hmm. Anyway, this went on for about 15 years and I'm still doing it now. So,
bad when you got a cup of tea, though, isn't it? I hope you went all in a cup of tea when it came on.
Normally in the early hours of the morning, but the lads twigged on and every time I had a full pint, this song kept coming on. So I was thinking, what? You know, full pint over my head. And so obviously the lads go up to the DJ saying, can you play this song? And I just put it over my head. So it sort of died a death, but I was doing it for a while. Just one of the stupid things I've done.
The book's a lot of fun, and of course it has some serious points in it as well, which we'll come on to. But a nice forward by Freddie Flintoff, and I thought he compared you to Goffey in the way that he says you lift a dressing room, and of course he also rates your bowling, and I think that's a nice thing to say about somebody.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, obviously Flintoff. I was the sort of heir of the 2005 Ashes. I was about 15, 16, so that test series was what made me sort of look at cricket and think, actually, this looks like something good to do. So, and Flintoff was my hero growing up, so for him to say them words, even just to meet him over the years has been incredible, but for him to fold my book, it's pretty amazing, really.
Because football was a first love for you, wasn't it? You've got pictures in the book of you, Peter Shilton, shaking your hand. It's you were sort of Nottingham schools and had a bit of... Wasn't Notts County? You're a Forest fan, but Notts County showed an interest in you.
Yeah, I had trials at a few clubs. At the age of 11, I was... I wouldn't say I was hot property. I said I'd had a good few months. So I think I had trials at Forest, Leeds. Anyway, I went to Notts County because a few of my mates was there. And it sort of died a death. I played for a bit and then got released. I remember it saying I wasn't agile enough, which agility is something I'm still struggling with now. So I don't think I'd have had a career in football.
There is, there's one key incident that probably people remember you famously wore one, I think is fair to say, Luke.
That's an understatement.
And I
remember it well at the time, but I looked at it again this morning. It's still a shocking incident, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Talk us through it from your point of view then.
Well, obviously when I got hit, I knew I was in trouble, and obviously the natural thing you do when you get hit on the head is you put your hand on your head. So I was sort of waiting to be knocked out in a weird way. I thought, I'm going to keel over or what, and I actually felt all right. I felt really focused. And then I took my hand off my head and all this blood started splurting out. It's like you see on the movies, really. It was crazy, and I thought, I better get myself off the field. By the time I got to the field, all the doctors and that were in the dressing room. And I got looked after and sort of whisked off to, I think it was the Queen Elizabeth in Birmingham, pretty quickly, the hospital. And then that was it. Yeah, I had a long 6 months and I couldn't drive. Found myself watching Jeremy Kyle every morning, which is not a good routine to get into.
Yeah. Carry on.
I was just going to say, it was just a very surreal time in my life, really.
Yeah. I mean, the ball hit you Sam Hain hits the ball back for Birmingham Bears straight back at you, and right back at you as you're bowling, and you walk off. That's the thing, isn't it? You're not carried off the
you're
pitch.
You're assisted,
but you manage to walk off the pitch, and the players all look really worried or concerned because they were clearly really concerned for you out there.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't really realise that until the lads came off. And then all the players came off and I was still in the physio room being stitched up. And I thought, I think the physio told me that it was raining. And obviously it wasn't. They came off because of what happened to me. So I just assumed it was a rain break. But no, you know, I think there's a few players upset. Samet was upset. Yeah, I think it was quite bad what happened, really. I mean, I did have a bleed on the brain. I had it was a pretty nasty injury. Luckily, I felt all right myself. So, and you know, I got looked after really well. And I've said it loads of times by James Piper, our physio, who was brilliant through the whole 6 months, really. So I had the right treatment. I was around the right people. And yeah, I felt okay. Bar, you know, a bit of a dusty few days.
Sure, of course.
That's about it.
Because I think with, you know, the advent of lots more white ball cricket, heavy bats and follow-throughs, it's surprising this doesn't happen more. You see it a lot in the IPL, like near things or people. Someone watching, I think, was even Curran. He just about got his hands up to that would have hit him straight in the face. So, it is worrying, this, the way the game's going. But
it is going to happen. It will happen again, unfortunately. So hopefully, you know, it's not too bad. But yeah, even like in training now in nets, I don't really like to bowl at our batsmen. I'll try and do some sort of skill work on my own, off the side sort of thing. Just because, you know, the ball comes back so fast, you haven't really got time to move out of the way.
It's true. You're funny in the book about Samet Patel. You obviously got a good relationship with him, but you take the mickey out of him.
Yeah,
one
you
or two
did
times.
Say when he was crying on the pitch when you got hit with the ball, you thought something serious had happened, like KFC had closed down.
Samet's a great lad. I mean, it probably was, though. Yeah.
So, you had any pushback from the boys in the dressing room? Are they happy with everything you've said? And they like the stories. It's probably good for them. It's a sort of record of your adventures with them, isn't it?
Well, everything's true. I mean, Hales features a lot in it, and I'm quite close with Alex Hales.
Yeah.
And there was a few things that he pulled me up on and was like, "Oh, did we really do that? Did that really happen?" And I said, "Yeah, we did do that." Yeah, I think everyone's pretty
I think we're just...
Small man in a box. That's Rob Brighton.
Luke, you're still there. We're just losing you slightly. Are you still there?
Yeah, you got me.
Oh, we got you back. Yeah. There is a fine Alex Hales story where you were playing Scotland the day after and you decided to go out and have a couple of beers. And Alex said, well, it's only Scotland, so we might as well get on it. So a 3.30 finish. And then he's out in the first over against Scotland and you didn't bowl particularly well.
Oh, that's my favourite story, that. I mean, looking back, I'm thinking, oh, my, what were we doing? But, I mean, it was a Sunday game, started at 2 o'clock. You know, young lads out in Nottingham, Saturday night. You know, no disrespect to Scotland at all, but at the time we were a strong side, so you sort of back yourself, don't you? And back then, I could go out and front up the next day. It wasn't really a problem.
Yeah.
You know, get in at 3, get up at 11, bit of breakfast, bang, straight on the field, right as rain. But no, we obviously had a bit of an average game.
Yeah.
And I remember just about to leave the dressing room about 10 o'clock at night. We're saying, oh, cheers, lads, I'll see you on Tuesday when we come back in. And Mick said, no, just come into my office, I want to chat to you. And Hales is already in there. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, obviously he's going at Hales first, you know, saying, you know, what are you doing, young player, going out. And he's like bottom lip drops, and I get the giggles, and I had it at school all the time. And once I've got the giggles, whatever situation I'm in, that's it. I'm laughing. And I got it really bad because I seen Hales' lip go, and Mick Newell was giving him a good spray. And then I got the biggest barrage. And I remember, just to cut a long story short, I remember driving home about 10:45, and I pulled up. I had to pull up before I got back home to mum and dad's house, because I was living at home still. And I had to ring Mick to say, look, I'm really sorry about that. You know, it's bang out of order, but, it used to happen to me at school all the time. I used to get the giggles. And he slammed the phone down. There was a few expletives in there as well.
Talking of expletives, there was a...
I can't say it on the radio, but
Of course not.
No, as I was saying, talking of expletives, Alex Hales on finals day, there was an amazing moment there where, for the second time of the week, one of the Parkinson brothers got him out. He was not happy, was he? And without any fans, of course, you could hear it. And the umpire, I've never seen it. We had to warn your team for basically swearing. It would be a 5-run deduction if anyone else swears.
Oh, I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, I probably shouldn't get into this. I'm not going to get into it, but yeah. It's professional.
Yeah,
sport,
we don't want to get you into trouble.
No, don't get into trouble.
Well, the book's great fun, Luke, and it's good to talk to you. I take you live up in Nottingham, I take it, so it's sort of lockdown time for you guys now, isn't it?
Yeah, tier three, back in the lockdown. So I've just been wrestling this afternoon, my lad. I've been, doing. There's not much else to do, so we've been doing a bit of wrestling, messing around.
Yeah, you talk about your love of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the book, have you still got the duvet cover?
No, I took it away. I had a bit of an accident in the bed, didn't I, if you read the book?
Oh, properly. Of course you did, yeah. You didn't go into great detail, I'm pleased to hear. You just said, after an accident, after a night out. So
okay.
I didn't want you to tell us any more than that, so it's probably just as well.
No. Yeah.
Well, look, good to talk to you, and best of luck with the book. It's a lot of fun. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Another goal set up by Kane and scored by Son last night, and that tends to be the way it works, but it can, of course, flip the other way around. But the two of them are a pretty decent duo. And they're
only second in the all-time list behind my favourite duo, Lampard and Drogba.
When you think Lampard was effectively a midfield player.
No, I think they're going to catch them up.
Yeah, well, I think they need, another seven goals, is it? I think, to catch them. But we thought we would talk about the art of a striking partnership. And, of course, back in the day, Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips had a fairly mean one at Sunderland. They scored 46 goals between them in the 98-99 season.
But how many were assists between them?
Well, that's an interesting point as we delve into the old art of a double act. Because Kevin joins us now. Good afternoon, Kevin.
How are you doing, guys? Okay?
Yeah, it's good, thanks. So did Niall set up more for you or vice versa?
I think you can just tell by the way I'm laughing. I tried not to set him up as much, let's put it that way. But now, yeah, of course, he was a great foil for myself. And I think it was an era, or certainly a season, where we caught a lot of defences off guard with the little and large combination. I don't think the Premier League had seen a lot of that. Yeah, he set an awful lot of goals up for me, but I set him up for his fair share as well.
Well, it's interesting. Josie was talking about the relationship with the two players and saying that, you know, there's no egos, they're good friends, etc., etc. I mean, I suppose in a situation like that, you have to kind of put egos on one side if you're going to get the best out of each other.
Yeah. Well, you certainly do. I think you probably have to go back to, I suppose, the most famous falling out was probably Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham, you know, from what you can read and what... You know, certainly speaking to Teddy, they weren't the best of friends on the pitch and off the pitch. And at times you could see that when they were playing. But, yeah, I think, you know, to have a relationship off the pitch really helps when you get on it. You're right, there's no egos. There's certainly no scenarios from what I've seen. One not wanting to pass to the other who would rather score. They're both team players and you can see that in their play. And, you know, they're reaping the rewards for that this season. And, you know, for me at the moment, Son has to be up there as one of the best players in the world. Of course, Kane is one of the world's best strikers at this current time. And for both of them to be, you know, in that bracket and playing so well, and just the understanding that they have between each other is unbelievable to watch.
Mm. I mean, you said they're like deliberately not passing, and you mentioned a couple of players who didn't get on, but they did do that. I mean, can you get away with that now? I wouldn't have thought you could. If a manager spotted that one player out of the pair were being selfish, you think he'd pull them up?
Well, I think he would. I think we had a scenario, didn't we, at Liverpool between Sané and Salah. You know, that was brought up in the media. Of course, a manager won't bring it up. He'll keep it in-house, whether anything was said or not. You know, we'll stay in between the four walls. But, you know, you can't hide. You know, it's quite obvious and it's quite clear now. You know, so many angles of the TV that you can actually see it. But from a manager's point of view, you certainly don't want that. Listen, at the end of the day, to be a top world-class striker, you do have to have that selfishness about you. And I think the top players have that. I think Harry Kane has that. But he also recognises that, you know, when you've got quality players in around you, and if they're in better positions, they're making runs, you've got to play them in. And, you know, that's been one of the biggest things this season. You know, I think when teams play with three up front, you know, I did an interview about this the other day, what's the art of playing that lone striker? You have to have players that will run off you. And Son does that. Moura does that. Of course, Bow will do that when he comes into the fold. Bergwijn does that. You can't have everyone coming short. And, you know, you may want to call it telepathic, but I think these two boys just have an understanding that, you know, it doesn't come around very often. And it's a pleasure to watch.
I mean, last night's goal was an interesting one because there have been goals this season where they're Kane are playing early ball because Son runs into areas that he would expect him to run into. They have got that understanding. But last night's was weird because it's a sort of header that he's reaching for. He puts it back into a danger area and Son just instinctively...
He's moving before. He gambles.
He doesn't he? It's just purely gambles. That's not something they've worked on. They've even set that up. Of course not. He takes the chance and, it, of course, it's people that pops up and gets on the end of it.
They do, and you're right. You know, they will practice set plays, I'm sure, the day before, as every team does. But, you know, what you do is you just try and get players into areas. And at the moment, you know, whenever a ball drops to either Kane or Son, you know, it's come from one or the other. And it's just the way it's happening at the moment. You know, they certainly didn't, you know, certainly they weren't practicing the day before for Kane, for Son to head it. But, you know, Son's got a habit of just being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have had a career of doing that. And when people ask you, why were you in that position? Sometimes you can't answer it. You just are. And you know, you read the game well. And fortunately, it was Kane to Son last night. And it was an incredible finish. It was probably the only place he could have put it. And, you know, he's in a hot streak of form at the moment. Do I enjoy it? I'm pretty sure, as much as the relationship is great between them, I bet if you really sat Harry Kane down, being a selfish striker, he'd rather be the one on the end of all the goals at the moment. But yeah, at the moment, it's going so well for them.
Did you have to work at that relationship with Niall Quinn, or did it sort of all come together? You've probably, you know, played at plenty of clubs. There might have been times where a coach or a manager put you together and said, you know, Kevin will work well with X, and it doesn't quite work. So is there a secret to it?
Yeah, there is. I think when you watch Kane and Son, they very rarely get in each other's way. The only thing Peter Reid ever really said to me and Niall, and what Niall said to me having more experience, was try not to ever be more than 10, 15, you know, no more than 20 yards apart. Now, whether that's running in behind or coming short, you know, just try and stay close to me. And I think with Kane, you can put on drills all day long about a striker coming short, setting, and then a midfield player playing in Son, running in behind, or Amora. Ideally, you'd like both of them running in behind, so you've got two options. But I think when you watch some of the goals, and some of the goals that certainly Kane's laid on for Son, he just plays it into an area. And you can work on that in training, but I just think the biggest thing for them, they're clever footballers, they don't get in each other's way, and I think they recognise that if Son's going to run into that space, Kane won't occupy it because he won't want to kill his space. And you know, I think that understanding they've got, it is you can work on it, but I think sometimes, you know, it's just clever players who have got that understanding of football.
It'd be good if Harry Kane could find somebody in England that had that same understanding, because he has added this to his game, this dropping deep. And I just last week watching Ibrahimovic for Milan against Celtic, even though he's 38, he came deep, he won the ball, he set the bloke in, and then they scored. It was a brilliant bit of football, and I think Kane's adding that to his game all the time now.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I wouldn't like to say I was ever in Harry Kane's class, but, you know, as I got a little bit older and a little bit more experienced, I started to drop just a little bit deeper and try to create more opportunities for other people. Because late on in my career, I had to play that lone striker a little bit more. And that's what you have to add to your game when you play up there on your own. You can't always play up against the last defender. As much as I love seeing Harry Kane pulling on the shoulder and running in behind, but he can do both now. And you would have to say, you know, his all-round game at the moment is you know, there's no faults there. He can head it, he can come short, you know, he can create, and he can do what he probably does best in the whole of Europe, put the ball in the back of the net. You probably argue Lewandowski at the moment is probably just in front of him, but, you know, he's a top class player who, you know, his all-round game is phenomenal.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with Niall, you two? Is he from about the old days?
Well, we did a phone interview a couple of weeks ago, and his opening lines were, "Have you lost my number?" but no, we do. It's one of those relationships, even to today, you know, when I don't speak to him for a while. So when we do talk, it's like we only spoke to each other yesterday. And I think that probably showed on the pitch as well. We were great friends off the pitch, and it obviously showed on the pitch. And I'm sure, you know, Harry Kane and Son are like that as well.
Good to talk to you, Kev. Thanks ever so much.
Cheers, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow with, among our guests, Alan Brazil. That's right. Chatting about his autobiography. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.